When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello everyone, Charles Watts here. Welcome back to Inside Arsenal. It's Thursday. I hope the week's going well, wherever you're watching or listening to this around the world. The Premier League is very, very nearly back. Just a couple more days to go until it all kicks off again and the home straight begins. That mad, mad charge through till May. And it certainly starts with a bang this weekend. Manchester City versus Arsenal on Sunday. Doesn't get much bigger than that, does it? So we'll talk about that, of course, in this show. I've got plenty of questions and comments from you guys in response to what we've been speaking about in the last couple of days, where we will debate and go over that game. Some news about Jorginho. His agent's been speaking about his future. Barcelona reported to be sniffing around, waiting to see what happens with Arsenal. Some strong reports in Spain from Sport that Barca are looking to bring Jorginho to the Camp Nou next season. Oh, actually, would it be the Camp Nou? I don't think it would be, would it? They're not playing there yet at the moment while it's being redeveloped, but certainly taking him over to Barcelona. So we'll talk about that and his futures. Questions about Reece Nelson. Gareth Southgate as well has been talking about Ben White. So plenty to discuss. And we'll start with Jorginho today, shall we? Now, his agent certainly likes to talk to the media, certainly over in Italy, does it a fair bit, and he's been speaking again. Lots of interest in Jorginho heading into summer, having a fantastic season for Arsenal, out of contract in the summer. Of course, Arsenal are keen to tie him down to a new contract. I don't know exactly what's going on with that option that Arsenal were reported to have at the moment, but they aren't at the moment. I think all the talks with Jorginho or the plan with Jorginho for Arsenal is not, it's not to do with that option. It's to give him an actual new contract of like 1+1 or potentially 2+1. I'm not sure, but to reward him for his form with an actual proper new contract. But talks, I don't think, as far as I'm aware, have started yet. And there's been plenty of interest, like I said, from Italy and taking him back to Italy. Been reported interest from Saudi Arabia, I think. Now, like I said, over in Spain, lots of talk about Barcelona looking to bring him over to improve their squad on a free transfer in the summer. So João Santos, Jorginho's agent, has been talking about it. He said, the squad is Arsenal's strength. Today, they're a squad that lead the Premier League. They're in a position of absolute importance. They're in the Champions League. They face Bayern, and there'll be lots of emotion until the end of the season. He's out of contract with the Gunners. We'll talk to them because he's doing well. If they need him from next season, he was asked about a potential return to Serie A. And he says, it's always like this in football. Jorginho has played in Italy all of his life. He likes it a lot. So why say no? Yeah, I mean, I've said it before. I just think it would be mad if Arsenal don't get Jorginho down to a new contract. Obviously, a lot depends on him at his age. You know, and I think there's so much respect, mutual respect between Arsenal, Arteta, Edu and Jorginho, that if he really is keen to do something else at the end of this season, that they will just probably reluctantly let him go because that respect is there between all parties when it comes to him, and the job he's done at Arsenal has been fantastic. The players love him, the management staff love him. He's such an important player, and he's proven this season he's still such a good player as well. So unless he's desperate to go and is making that very, very clear, I just think Arsenal will really miss a trick if they don't tie him down to a new contract, keep him here for another couple of years. He's still got, clearly got so much to give still at the top level. We're seeing that week in, week out when he plays. What he brings behind the scenes as well is fantastic, you know, and everyone said, you know, his legs are going, he's getting too old. I just don't really agree with that. I did have that sort of suspicion when Arsenal signed him, but that's long gone now. By watching him play, he's never been a player who's relied on pace. So it doesn't matter if his pace has gone. He's always relied on his brain and his ability and his technique. And that's still there. And that's not going to go anywhere for a while yet. You know, he's not like he's 38. He's only 32, I think. You look at what Toni Kroos is doing or Luka Modric is doing over in Spain at the moment at the age that they are. You just don't lose it when you're that good a footballer and you've never really relied on pace. And your game is all about your ability to read the game and be in the right places and be able to see the pass before the pass, everything that Jorginho had. So for me, I just think it would be a massive, massive loss to Arsenal. It's a summer where there's already going to be a bit of a shake up, you would think, in midfield, you know, and then he's going to go. We'll have to wait and see if Arsenal can find a buyer this summer for Thomas Partey. If they can, I think they probably will sell. But, you know, they were open to that last summer and there wasn't a buyer there for him. So he stayed on, and that might well be the same this summer. We'll have to wait and see. But, you know, if Thomas Partey and Elneny both end up leaving in the same summer, to lose Jorginho as well, I just think it would cause an awful lot of issues for Arsenal that they don't really need. So for me, it would be an absolute priority. It's tough now because there's so much going on. It's like, do you really want to get involved in contract talks right now until the end of the season? Probably not. So it is probably something that's going to wait until the season finishes, but it would certainly be right at the top of my priority list to keep Jorginho and to keep him out of the clutches of Barcelona or, you know, any of the Italian clubs that are sniffing after him. I really think he deserves to stay at Arsenal. But let me know what you guys think in the comments below. Love to get your thoughts on that. Right, Gareth Southgate has been talking a little bit more following the international friendlies, England playing Brazil and Belgium, of course, without Ben White, who was left out of the squad at his own request. Gareth Southgate revealing that at the beginning of the international break. Now the break's finished. I think in this sort of embargo questions after the game against Brazil, he talked a little bit more about Ben. He said, it's really for Ben now. Declan is obviously in a difficult situation. You're asking him about a teammate and he's going to be careful how he says. The door is always open for us. That's clearly difficult ahead of the Euros, where he missed all of the qualifying campaign and you've got players that have played all the way through. But we have no idea of knowing who's going to be available in that area of the pitch. We've lost four defenders to injury this camp. So for me, it's open. I have absolutely no issue. He was then asked if he'd talked to Ben White after Edward made that call saying that he didn't want to be picked for England. He said, no, I respected the situation as Arsenal had contacted us. I don't know any more than you. So in the end, I know the conversation I had with him last March. I felt I should back away from it a little bit, but I've always left the door open. I was keen to bring him in that camp. See, I don't dislike Gareth Southgate. I've got a lot of time for him. I think he's done really well with England. I think he's, you know, he's got England back competing, which is what I've always wanted as an England fan, to be competing for major honours. Hopefully they can win it this summer. But I still look at this and just think, I just think this is a lot his own making. Well, not his own making, but certainly the making of an issue that's gone on with a staff member that, you know, he basically lied about in the first press conference, saying he didn't know what was going on. There was no issue with Steve Holland. That's just clearly not the case. And then, you know, he's saying there basically, well, the door's always open. We've lost four defenders, so we never know who's going to be available for us. So maybe the door is open for him in the summer. It's like, well, yeah, if you're Ben White and you're sitting there thinking, well, you weren't playing me anyway, you ain't giving me a chance anyway, and now you're saying, oh, maybe if some players are injured, then you might give you a chance to come away in the squad where I'm basically going to sit there and not play anyway, because it's clearly it's obvious you don't fancy me, and it's obviously obvious that your coaching staff don't fancy me. So it's just not an appealing option for Ben White at all. And I can absolutely understand that. So I just think for Southgate to continue to talk about, and I know he was probably asked about it. Well, he would have been asked about it by the journalist. So he's responding to a question. But again, I just read what he has to say about it now. And I just think, I don't really trust what he says about the whole thing because of the way he put it out in the open in the first place. So yeah, and I can't, you know, Ben White, for everything. Look, and I don't know Ben White personally. Obviously, I've had some dealings with him, but I don't know him personally. But I'm absolutely sure he won't be caring a little bit about what's going on. You know, he's got that character where he can shut it out, where he can just be himself. He can switch off when he goes home after working at Arsenal. And I just don't think he's going to get bothered by this. It'll be interesting to see what sort of reception he gets at away games now, between now and the end of the season. I'm sure he will get a little bit targeted, especially at games like Spurs away and things like that, because of what Gareth Southgate has said and brought out into the open. But again, I just think he'll thrive off that a little bit. I mean, we all see it. He loves to be that wind-up merchant, Ben White. He sort of gets off on it. It's what drives his game an awful lot of the time. So I think if that's how he's going to get sort of targeted by away fans, I don't think he'll go into his shell by any means. I think he'll really thrive on it. So I have no real worries about him, given the reaction he might well get.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Right, moving on to the Manchester City game now. I can't believe it's only 3 days away. Felt at the start of the international break, it felt ages away, and now it's just 3 days. What a huge game. What a massive game for the Premier League, for Arsenal, for Man City, just for everyone. You know, I've always dreaded going to the Etihad. It's kind of similar to Anfield. I hate going to Anfield because I've just seen Arsenal lose so badly so many times there that I hate it. And it's exactly the same at the Etihad, because every time I've been, you know, I've never seen Arsenal win at the Etihad. I've always seen Arsenal hammered at the Etihad. It's just that place you turn up and you know what's going to happen. But I really don't have that feeling this time. You know, they might go and lose. I'm not saying Arsenal are going to go there and win. It's impossible to really predict that away at Manchester City. But I just want to see how they do. You know, I'm excited to see how this team handles it, because I just think they're going to be different. It's going to be different. I think they're going to approach it differently. I think they're going to back themselves. I think they're going to try and take the game to City in any way that they can. And I think they'll go toe-to-toe with them. Again, I'm not saying they're going to win. It's a flip of the coin type thing. You're playing the best team in the world at home, where they just don't lose. They haven't lost in, I don't even know how long, since that Brentford game, I think, before the World Cup. So it's going to be incredibly difficult, but I'm just really looking forward to seeing how Arsenal handle this situation, because they go in there full of momentum, full of belief. And I think they believe they can win. Well, I know they believe they can win, because you can just see that with this team, and they will back themselves. And I'm really looking forward to it. Now, there's a few of you guys have been talking about the game and how things should be set up. Molson at the top there says, looking at how important this game is this season, I think that back four should be maintained. Our defensive numbers have improved with Jakub Kivior in it. The midfield, I think, playing a two-man defensive midfield with Rice playing more of a full six and more of a number eight, it's best suited to hold Foden and KDB, with Jorginho sitting deeply in the sixth role, where he mostly starts out that counter-attack with his through balls, and Trossard could pick up that Martinelli role with Kai as the false nine. 01 Freed says, if Lewis does play it right back, it's Rico Lewis, of course, does play it right back on Sunday, keep an eye on Kai Havertz effectively playing left wing with Jesus moving into the central spaces. Arsenal would have a big advantage in terms of physicality. JPZ1986 says, I have a cheeky feeling Arteta is going to start Tomiyasu at left back. Just imagining him and Gabriel back at London Colney training on some ace up the sleeve tactics while others are away. Plus, I think Arteta will and should gamble a bit on Tommy, thinking that Kivior may be a little bit overwhelmed by the atmosphere at the Etihad at this stage of his career. So I'm not concerned about that. I think Kivior will be fine in terms of the atmosphere at the Etihad. He's an experienced international player now. You know, he played in a massive cauldron-like atmosphere at Wales on a Tuesday night. Obviously, it's very different. You're playing against a different quality of players there than you are when you play at Manchester City away at the Etihad. But I don't think the atmosphere will overwhelm Kivior. But look, if Arsenal, and I said this yesterday on Inside Arsenal Extra Time with James, if Tomiyasu and Kivior are both fully fit and both up to speed, I'll be playing Tomiyasu in this game. Absolutely 100%. And in the Bayern Munich games as well. but I don't know if Tomiyasu's up for speed. But if Arteta and the coaching staff have seen enough from him during the last couple of weeks of training that they think he is, then I'd have no issue with him playing. But if there's any sort of doubt over Tomiyasu's fitness, I'd be going with Kivior, and I'd have no worries with that because I think Kivior's been so impressive. I think Arsenal's defence have been so impressive with him in it that I wouldn't be worried about it whatsoever. Here's one from Nickel. I think Nickel Bambo says extra time. So this was for extra time. Obviously, I didn't get to read it yesterday, but I thought I'd bring it into today's normal show. Says, I understand why everyone is nervous about Man City on Sunday, but I'm not. I'm so confident that we are going to win. Has everyone forgotten the performance and the stats from the game at the Emirates? They didn't have a shot on target. Haaland had a 0.00 XG. Have we forgotten the performance at Wembley? We've beaten them twice already in one season. We are on fire right now. We have the most available players now that we've had in the last couple of years when facing them. Let's have some belief, please. I'm tired of this inferiority complex people have with Man City. This is Arsenal. The Arsenal, really good comment there. And this is kind of what how I feel about it as well. That's what I was saying earlier on. I'm nervous because it's Man City, obviously, and it's a huge, huge game. But I have just got that. I'm just excited about Arsenal taking them on at the top of the game. And like Nickel says here, that, you know, Arsenal going there full of confidence, full of belief. They're flying right now. If Saka, Gabriel, Martinelli are fit, and they've got a fully fit team, basically, to go there against Manchester City, then they're never going to have a better chance of beating them there. I understand. I get why there is an inferiority complex, because we've seen so many times Arsenal go to the Etihad and just get battered year after year, season after season. It happens. But I just don't think that's going to happen like this Sunday. I say that knowing that whenever I'm confident about something, it goes wrong. I remember being so confident going to Porto in that first leg, feeling really, really good about it, and Arsenal ended up playing pretty rubbish and losing. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think they'll go toe-to-toe with Manchester City. They might lose, but I think they're going to go toe-to-toe to Man City. And it's going to be a really good game between two excellent teams. I don't think it's going to be an Arsenal, Manchester City versus Liverpool type game. Whenever you see City and Liverpool go, it's always kind of end-to-end, you know, high octane, almost like cup football. They always produce excellent games. I feel like this game might well be more of what we saw at the Emirates at the start of the season. In that really, really tight game, not that many chances, but Arsenal ended up nicking it at the end. I think it might be a similar sort of game to that. But yeah, I mean, those two wins against them this season, and I'm counting the Community Shield as a win, because even though it was on penalties at the end of the day, it was Arsenal who celebrated Manchester City who were disappointed. So I'm counting that as a win. I just think those two wins are going to really help Arsenal's belief going to the Etihad. This weekend, I really think when it's in the back of your mind, you know you can beat them, and that's a feeling Arsenal haven't had against Manchester City for a long, long time. But they know now they can beat them, and I think that's really going to help give them that little bit of an extra edge on Sunday at the Etihad. Here's a couple here from Arsenal OG. Says, Charles, I do not think that we will be a counter-attacking team versus City. This is not the way. Not the way we will be proactive. High press will be in full effect and man-to-man marking all over the pitch. If we score first, then playing smart will be wise, otherwise not. And Coach Lance, 7076, says, Charles, why would we change our style of play? We should play on the front foot, not just accept that we won't have possession. Last time we played them, possession was almost split. Yeah, this was what I was talking about yesterday when I was thinking City are going to have more of the ball than Arsenal. I wasn't saying in that Arsenal should be a counter-attacking team. I think they will get opportunities to counter-attack, and I think they need to take that. When you look at City and you look at when they struggle against teams, it is often on a quick counter-attack. So I'm not saying that's what Arsenal have to rely on and solely play towards on Sunday, but I just think they need to be switched on enough in those opportunities when City are pressing, when they are dominating territory and possession, that you can get in behind them and take advantage of the space they leave behind. You go back to the Chelsea game a couple of months ago, or whenever it was, 6 weeks ago, when Chelsea drew 1-1 at the Etihad and were winning for a large chunk of time, and they caught them on the counter-attack a few times. You know, Sterling scored one, and then they could have had another in the second half to go 2-0 up. And that's what I'm talking about. You know, it's not all about that. And I think, you know, I think the game, it will be, I think City will probably have more of the ball, but I'm not saying it's going to be a 70-30% split of possession. I just think City will have more than the ball, and Arsenal are going to have to adjust to not having as much of the ball as they normally do. But I think there will certainly be times when Arsenal will be on top possession-wise and territory-wise as well. I certainly hope there is a time like that. But I do think counter-attack is still going to be key, because I think that's how you get at City. It really, really is. And we've seen it time and time again when teams do hurt them. A lot of the time it is on the counter-attack. Just moving on to Reece Nelson now. There's a question here from Beyond Chenelot. Is that? Says, Charles, why are we looking for a wide winger when we have Reece Nelson, who signed a new contract last year? Well, I always felt, and I said it at the time, that I thought Reece probably deserved that new contract because of how well he played last season. When he did look good when he came on at times, was taking more responsibility, playing with a lot more intent. But I always felt at the time it was probably a contract more to, well, we'll give him another season, but if it doesn't work out, then we can sell him and make some money on him. Because it would have been a real shame to lose him on a free transfer last summer, because I think Reece Nelson, the money you put into developing him as a player, to lose him on a free would be a bit of a blow. And I always felt that contract was, as well as it was a bit of a reward for Reece, I also felt it was Arsenal thinking, well, we'll give him another year, and if it doesn't work, we can then sell him and make some money. And I think that's what probably they're going to do this summer. I think they're going to look to sell. I think there will be some interest in Reece Nelson. I think he's shown he's a good player in the last couple of years, and he's ready to, you know, be a decent player at a Premier League club. I'm not sure that's Arsenal. And Arsenal should get a little bit of money for him. So I think that's why. I think they want to raise the level of the squad. I think they probably know they can do that. And they can bring in a winger who they trust a little bit more, or who Arteta trusts a little bit more than Reece, to make an impact on game and change games. And Reece can move on. Arsenal can get a bit of money for him, and he can move on and continue his career elsewhere. So I would say that's why they're looking at a wide winger. But, you know, that's not a criticism of Reece. I think he's done well, but I do think it'd be a shame if Arsenal had lost him for free. That's it from me, everyone. Thank you very much for watching. Appreciate it. As always, Mikel Arteta's press conference is tomorrow. That is at 1:30 p.m. at London Colney, where we should get the latest from him. Pep Guardiola will be speaking as well up in Manchester, so we should get the latest from him on the injury issues affecting Manchester City at the moment. If you haven't seen it yet, Inside Arsenal Extra Time was recorded yesterday with myself and James Benge. You can watch it down in the videos below, or if you're listening to this on podcast, you can find it on all your feeds. So keep your eyes peeled for those ones. Until tomorrow, everyone, have a very good day. I'll speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.